The method of kinesiology, as I said, we're not kinesiologists. It's only a technique that we use for the sake of spiritual research and for comprehending the nature of life and illuminating things that for which there is no other tool possible. And we do somewhat review it each time, each lecture. The two people have to be over 200. The purpose of the question has to be integrous. You make it in the form of a statement. And before you do it, you ask if you have permission to do it. You say, I have permission to do this. And then the person resists. And not infrequently, you get a no. You know, we got a no this morning. We'll get a no. If you're curious and you've got time, you can research the reason for the no. A lot of times we're in a hurry. We just want a yes or no for, let's say, should we turn left or right? You know, I don't need to know the reason. Because this one leads to the pits. I don't need to know that. I just say, I should make a left turn. Yes, I make a left turn. So, but if you have time, you can research the reason for the no. Sometimes couples are not good with each other. I don't know why. Marital couples, we just hadn't had time to research why that is. Sometimes a couple have to find a third party, and with them, they're fine. There's methods of doing it by yourself. Let's see. Doing it by yourself is an okay. We have permission to ask this. Is an okay way of doing it. Resist, and it is reasonably reliable. If it's an important question, I would double check it with kinesiology. Resist. Okay. So everybody knows this method here, the so-called thumb and middle finger, in which you hold it as tight as you can. Now you picture Jesus Christ. You try to break. You see with this if you can break it. Now I'm going to hold in mind somebody who's been on TV a lot lately. Bin Laden. I don't know, Bin Laden makes you go weak. I don't know why. Anyway, so that's a technique you can use by yourself. And then we found that 10% of the general population can't do it. Is that right? Let's see. 10% of people who are entitled to do it are unable to do it, resist. Huh. And that's due to some strangeness about their chi energy, resist. And that chi energy has to do with karma. It has to do something with karma. So karmically, we don't have time to research it today, but karmically, some people have some problem with their chi energy. That about 10% of those who are entitled to do kinesiology are unable to do it. So, within those limitations, the other thing about spirituality is that you want to know specific things about things that are very applicable in a very wide variety of expressions. And sometimes people use it to ask questions that are really sort of irrelevant, you know what I mean? Yeah. We were going to use it to find Kitty yesterday, but Kitty showed up. I asked the Holy Spirit to find Kitty, and sure enough, Lou popped up and there was Kitty. He found Kitty. And Susan realized where it was. She says, oh, I know where it is, behind so-and-so's house. And Lou went over there, and sure enough, there it was. And then, also, we got a present of a bunch of books on Kitty. So somehow kittiness, you know, just sort of that energy field coalesced, discovered Kitty, and at the same time somebody said, here's a present for you, and I opened it, and it was four little books on kitties. It's just sort of funny. So that's the one you can use from yourself. Now the question about President Bush comes up. I do a lot of radio programs, and we're going to do one in November in Scottsdale. Let's see, we got one in October we're going to do at the Church of Agape, which is in L.A. In November, we're going to do one in Scottsdale with Mishka Productions, which is associated with Hay House. And I do a number of radio programs, and a lot of them are fun. A lot of these interviewers are fun people. And they have a comical way of expressing things. So a week or two ago, we did a radio and a TV one right after that. And anyway, we had a good time with it. But this question about President Bush comes up all the time. And you can tell the political slant of the radio interviewer, whoever it is, it's sort of like, tell us why President Bush is wrong, you know? So, you shouldn't ask a question with kinesiology unless you're prepared for the answer. Prepared for the answer. Sometimes I get letters from people, what do you think about Guru Baba so-and-so? Well, I know from just looking at him and picking up his energy, he's about 140. So am I going to answer this and upset this person who's going to lie awake and you think he's given everything away for Baba so-and-so and the guy calibrates at 140? Or what should I do? So, as far as President Bush, let's say we said that the office of the presidency runs around 450. Roosevelt was like 499. To run a government, you should really be in about the mid 400s. If you get too high, you're going to add, Einstein's 499, and Einstein wouldn't be too good at running a government, you know. So you need to be around 450. That's where Bush is, around 450, 460. That is capable. That's logic. That's reason. It's sane. It is geared to this world. It's not off in la-la land, nor is it into the spleen or even personal ambition, which would be the solar plexus. No, it's integrous. Don't forget that, which is over 200 is integrous. So here's where we would want the presidents to be, around here. If he gets too much up here, he's not going to be useful anymore. He's going to be like the Pope. Mother Teresa. You can't have Mother Teresa running about government, you know what I'm saying? You got to be with this world and its political realities. So to be appropriate, you have to be appropriate to where you are. We're appropriate to where you are. So that's why one number is not better than another number. I remember going into a boxing ring one time in 1945 or whenever it was. I went aboard this ship in the minesweeper, hazardous duty in the South Pacific, and a young guy who's still a friend of mine, Jimmy Sanders. Anyway, there was only 18 of us on this crew, you know, minesweeper. Anyway, I come ashore and these guys have got tattoos, earrings and stuff. And, I mean, they're grizzly-looking guys. They've been out of sea for a while. So this guy says, hey, Shorty. That was my name, henceforth, Shorty. Or Four Eyes. Anyway, I took my glasses off. Shorty says, you know how to box? I says, well, I had lessons with Richie Mitchell, who was the former middleweight champion of the world in Milwaukee. As a kid, I was always getting beat up. So my grandfather took me to Richie Mitchell's gym and said, teach him how to fight, you know. I was never interested in fighting and all these gruesome wrestling and crap the kids did. I mean, I thought kids were disgusting when I was a kid. And I was picking their nose and they wanted to stick their gooey fingers in your eye and wrestle you. And they were sweaty. Oh, my God. Anyway, these horrible kids. So he says, you got to teach him how to box. So I went to Richie Mitchell. And I was a mosquito weight. Flyweight was the smallest I had. Anyway, I was mosquito weight. So I learned how to box. And after I learned how to box, I was in choir. You know, we had choir practice two nights a week. I was in the choir. I was an acolyte. When the bishop walked around, I went by his side and held his robes and did the incense and all. And I sang Panis Angelicus as this boy soprano in a great cathedral with incense and stained glass. And I'll tell you, if that don't bring tears to your eyes, whew, just knocked me out. I don't know. I kept singing. Anyway, I'm just reminiscing. I forgot what I was telling you for. Huh? Boxing, yes. Well, I learned how to box, so I was a mosquito weight. And the way I won after that, the first thing I won, the first fight after that, I won. And I was so fast that he didn't know what hit him, and I always hit him in the nose. bang like that, and then I was out before he could hit me. And you get a bloody nose and a fight. So that was pretty good. I don't know why I told you the story, but huh? Yeah, so yeah, he said, oh yeah. So anyway, I learned how to box. So I go in the Navy and Jimmy Sanders says to you, hey Shorty, that was my name thereafter. You say, you can't be too sensitive about things. And he says, you know how to box? I said, yeah. He says, I took lessons with Richie Mitchell. Wow, he says, well, go up in the gun tub and go around, you know. So we go up like this, one shot and I was unconscious. Hit me once. Later I found out he was a champion of the Third Fleet. He was the most fearsome boxer I've ever seen. He was ferocious and fast. God bless him. Anyway, we're still friends. So after not hearing from these people for 50 years, my mates on the ship, after 50 years after the war is over, all of a sudden I started hearing from them. Imagine that, 50 years, and some guy calls me and says, are you Dave Hawkins? Yeah. Are you Shorty? I said, yeah. I'm so short. Yeah, he said. He told me who I was, and we both broke into tears. So everybody then we found each other, and as each one would call, we would always break into tears. I would break into tears, the guy at the other end break into tears. You see, because that love there was beyond all time. So one characteristic of love, you see, is that which your mates back in World War II, there was a love there that was incredible, and it lasted forever. 50 years you didn't hear from them, and it was like yesterday, you break into tears. So that commitment to love, then, is beyond time, beyond a sailing. I don't care what he's done in the meantime. It's all irrelevant. It's only the reality of the reconnection with love as a state of mind.